I built the projects. We finished. I was in Gaza to celebrate the opening this project when we connect to the grid. And the 7th of October started. And in the first week, they damaged, they destroy all the project. And all the projects we built it in previous time. After that, they what it called destroyed the hope.
Hi, this is Maryam. Welcome to the Epicom podcast. Our guest today, Tahani Abu Dakka, is the former Palestinian Minister of Youth, Sport and Culture. She is the founder of Gaza Life Power, an organization working on renewable energy and community development in Palestine. She is a Gaza war survivor and has been displaced since April 2024. Over four decades, she has been involved in building women's cooperatives and developing economic and social infrastructure in Gaza. In 2023, she completed a major solar energy project intended to provide more stable electricity to parts of Gaza. Within the first week after October 7, that installation was destroyed. In our conversation, Tahani offers a detailed first-hand perspective on Gaza, not only as a place of conflict, but as a society shaped by decades of resilience, organizing, and negotiation. She also outlines concrete reflections on what a constructive European role should look like and why security for both Israelis and Palestinians is ultimately interdependent. A quick note before we start. This is an edited version of my conversation with Tahani Abu Dakka. If you'd like to hear more about her personal and professional trajectory, you can find the full, unedited video interview on the Zenit Magazine YouTube channel. In this version, we pick up the conversation as Tahani describes her first major involvement in formal politics. After the Hamas-Fatah split in 2007, when Hamas took control of the Gaza Strip, she was invited to join the Fatah-led Palestinian Authority in the West Bank, marking a significant shift in her work.
After the problems between Hamas and Fatah and Hamas, they took over Gaza. Abu Mazen, President Abu Mazen, asked Salam Fayyad to make a government, to be a prime minister for government, and he invited me to be with him, and I changed my place to West Bank, and I spent 2 years in the ministry, but I didn't find myself in the ministry, and also I like to back to Gaza. I don't want to stay in West Bank. All the government that time to resign, and they establish another one. But I said that now it was difficult to back to Gaza because the Israelis forbidden me to back to Gaza. They didn't give me a permit. What I have to do that time, I learn about environmental issues and about renewable energy and sun energy. And we had that time problems with Area C, which is they couldn't have a water, they couldn't have electricity. Israel, they don't allow them to take electricity from the grid. We thought about this, why we didn't do for them solar energy. And to do solar energy, we have to develop the laws. To find there is a laws for fair renewable energy in the Palestinian Authority. We established Palestinian Association for Sun Energy and Renewable Energy. And we pushed the government to develop laws for that, and they did. And after that, we started to encourage the private sector to work in that, but it was difficult for private sector. And we get fund and we build some solar energy projects in the Area C, lighting the road also in Area C and something like this. But I back to Gaza. I have to do something for Gaza. And when I try to encourage the private sector to work in that, they were afraid. it's a new things, new technology. They don't feel that they will succeed for that. Establish Gaza life power to implement solar energy project. In that time, I was in a conference in Kibbutz Ketora in the south of Israel, and it was organized by Arava Institute for Environmental Studies. I like this work, and I tell them I want to take their experience to Gaza. For that, we started a partnership with them. If we want to start a partnership, we have to be NGOs. For that, it was my colleague Ashraf Ajrami with me, and he founded Damour organization, and I tell him why you take this organization and make it for environmental studies, environmental issues, and we can implement environmental project in Area C and in Gaza, and we did that. And we started to implement projects in Gaza as wastewater treatment, water distillations, agriculture, solar energy, and everything. But I was still thinking about solar energy field, and because you know that in Gaza it was a lack of electricity. We had only around 60 megawatt, and the Gaza need for more than 500 megawatt. Mm-hmm. For that, most of this industry, they stopped because there is no electricity. And also for the people, they have 8 hours electricity and 8 hours cut. They don't have all the time electricity. I struggle with the government and with the people, with the governmental organization in Gaza to get agreement with them to build a solar field. I get a loan from Bank of Palestine with a guarantee from a project called Sunref. It's funded by French government. And I built the projects. We finished. I was in Gaza to celebrate the opening in this project when we connect to the grid. And the 7th of October started. And in the first week, they destroy all the project. And all the projects we built it in previous time. After that, destroyed the hope. They destroyed all our hope or our childhood, everything. And also I look at it. Okay, the European, they pay for us for this, to build these projects. And after they pay for Israel and they sent guns to Israel and they to destroy these things. What kind of world we are? The first moment, I don't believe in peace and everything. Mm-hmm. I spent in my life more than 45 years working for peace building. And also I find my community, my people, my leader to work in peace and to have a connection with the Israeli population, to have agreement with the population, to push our government to go to the peace direction.
After that, it was all gone for a moment.
And after that, I found my friend in Israel and my Jewish friend around the world. They started to connecting me. They were afraid about me and maybe more than other Palestinian friends outside Gaza. For that, I back again. I said that still there is a hope. Mm. We can stop all this violence if we work together. During this time, I found myself in Gaza, displaced, in the Mawasi area. Mawasi area, this is a place which is no infrastructure in that. Mm. Nothing. Only few buildings, small building for the families when they came to the beach, because it's Mawasi area, it's in the beach. And I want the first family went to Almawasi because all the family, they was afraid to go to Almawasi. But I learned from the UN reports that they will change their offices because the Israeli tell them the Almawasi, it will be green area. You have to change your offices there. For that, I got from the beginning. I found a place because it was a beginning. After that, all the families from the south, from the north, from eastern area on all Gaza, they evacuated to Almawasi. They didn't find that place. They're sitting in the street. I went to international organization to push them to do something. They said that we don't have an emergency plan. We still, we don't have things. And also our organization, we don't have money for relief. All our projects, it's for development projects, and we couldn't use this money for another things. The fairest, the donors, they have to confirm that. And our the donation was from USAID, and they stopped all the projects in after 7th of October. Then I have to do something for the people. I try to build shelters, the fairest from my own money, from my brothers, from after that, my family, Abu Dhaka family, the people outside the country, they start to send me money and I start to build shelters. And after that, we find that the women, I meet women, which is they didn't have a shower for 3 months. And they didn't find a place to go to as a toilet. And also they didn't change their underwear for 3 or 4 months. I see it's a big problem. I back to also a cultural and free thought organization, which is I'm in the board. I tell them that we have to do something. We have to start to build shelter. I connect the UN and we started also to build shelter. And after that, the Amour and our partner, Arvine Institute, they said we have to follow what the Hani did. We have to find fund for to develop the shelters and to build the new shelters. And we did that. And also my daughter, she was in Germany. And also she tried to collect money to build the toilets for random shelters. It was a random shelters without any toilet. And she established an organization with a Jewish lady in Germany, the organization called Krill Shelter. And they're starting to raise a fund. And they help us to build Zumi shelters, which is only for families guided by women, with showers and toilet, very well organized, take care of the families. And after that, also they decide to work in water, to make water distillation and to distribute water for all the shelter. And we as a Damour continue building new shelters and distributing food, hot meal, and also sometimes we bring clothes, blanket, mattresses to the families. Until now we are working in that, but it's our work, it's not enough because now 2 million person are evacuated and there is no place and the situation it's very difficult. This time while I'm in Gaza before to get out, I met a lot of things, children cutting to pieces, families with 100 person, the house is destroyed and they stay under the rubble until now. Women, only women, and she lost all her family, her husband, her parents, her children. Children with no hands, no legs, without any family. Who will take care of these children? There is a lot of difficult things to accept or to think about. For that, I start to think for future, what we will do with these children, what we will do with these families. If we have a ceasefire, it's not easy to rebuild Gaza. Need to take the rubble out. We start to plan for what it called transmission period to build, develop shelter with all the surfaces. And also, I encouraged all the organization around the world, we have to think about these children, to build a children village. We have to do, but until now we couldn't get anything. We couldn't get material. We couldn't do anything. We are waiting a real and permanent ceasefire to start to work and to help these families.
Okay. And you left Gaza in April 24, right?
Yeah.
So before that, you were working on the projects from inside, and then you continued from Cairo to manage these projects?
Yeah. When I left Gaza, I left to go to Germany because we have a yearly delegation meetings with the German parliamentarians and the government. Mm-hmm. In that time, my colleague told me this is very important time to be you to come to Germany, to be with us, to speak about Gaza and everything. They helped me to get out because from the beginning, the Israeli, they didn't allow me to get out of Gaza. Mm-hmm. They helped me and also Israeli friends, they helped put pressure in their government. And I get out of Gaza to go to Germany and back again to Gaza. But when I back from Germany, Israeli, they closed the border and they occupied it. And Gaza closed until now. I couldn't back to Hada. I stay in Cairo because the Cairo only the country which they accept the Palestinian to stay there without any residency, without anything. I am there illegally. But they give us freedom to do what we want if we don't do political issues or we don't disturb their security. I invited my colleagues and we started to think what we can do. And also I stay following the work in Gaza, developing shelter, receiving call, looking at the need. I'm trying to develop the project for their need and we get fund for that. And also in Egypt, we are trying also to work on collecting assistance and send it to Gaza as materials, for example. But after that, also they closed they stopped all the humanitarian supplying for maybe 6 months, and the starvation started in Gaza. And also I tried to travel around the world to ask governments and parliamentarians and the people, they have to work hardly to stop this starvation and to open the border for a humanitarian assistance. And they open again, but they don't open for everything. Any example, they allow dry food. There is no milk, there is no meat, no vegetables. One of my relatives, he said his children 3 years old, which is when the war started, he was maybe 10 months. When he gave him a banana, he was afraid because he doesn't know what a banana. He never see bananas. And most of the children like this. And we were happy when the ceasefire started and we were prepared everything, our plan for the day after, but until now, we don't feel there is a ceasefire, the killing the people, the people still, they displaced in Mawasi area. There is no enough humanitarian assistance come to Gaza. There is no tent, there is no winter clothes. And now there is a flood in Gaza because of the rain, heavy rain, and the people, they are swimming all the time in water, and their lives disaster.
Yeah, I heard you say in the meetings a lot that also like the issue right now is not to rebuild Gaza, it's for later. Like what we need now is a sustainable peace agreement. That's something that you highlighted. So what in your opinion would a sustainable peace agreement look like and who are the actors who should take the action now to reach this kind of agreement?
I need the world stop and the killing of the Gazans to be stopped, and also don't transfer Gazans. And after that, to rebuild Gaza, we couldn't start because, you know, they destroyed Gaza in 2008 and rebuilt. And 2012 and rebuilt. And 2014 and we rebuilt. But we don't want to also invest, our donations from different countries and all our money or our family's money to rebuild Gaza, to develop a project, and after it will be destroyed. I don't want any country to build anything before we have permanent peace agreement, because we don't want to back again to the war. We don't want to put all our efforts in building things and after we lose it. For that, I think about transmission, shelter, green and sustainable shelter, to make it microgrid in different places, good conditions, good small places to the family to live, and all the services, until we have a negotiation and we have permanent peace agreement. Who will be responsible for that, or who we expected that he can help us in that? You know that from the first day of the war, we was expected that Europe will not allow anything to happen. Europe, they educated us about humanitarian law, human law, about women rights, women, children rights, and how to save the women, children during the war, and a lot of things. We said that all these countries signed these kind of declarations and they will save us. But the surprise, all their countries were silent, and they gave excuse to Israel to do that, to what happened after 7th of October. And we never put our hope in America. But maybe Trump, he came out of our expectation and he moved to stop the war, and he did. He tried to make a permanent ceasefire, and I expect that he will do. And also he working to solve the Palestinian problem. Maybe who did that? He did that because he want to win Nobel Prize. He want to make something different, but his work, if he succeeds to achieve it, he will be the first person which is he can solve the Palestinian-Israeli problem, which is continue for more than 80 years. Then I think he will be, in my view, he will be the hero if he succeeds to do that. And I hope that Europe will learn from this lesson. They keep silent, and after, because they were waiting America, and the America, when they decide to do that, they didn't consult the European, they didn't invite the European to be with them in this occasion.
But do you think that Europe still has something to say, still has leverage, or do you have any expectations after your disappointment that there's something they should and could do now to support peace?
They were thinking about the day after. This war, these sentences, I hate to hear about it.
The day after?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I need the day. Mm. I need you to help me to arrive to the day of the ceasefire. And after that, if you help me, I'll be thankful for you. But if you didn't, also, I will not blame you. But we as a Palestinian, we can't do it. The first, we have to stay alive. And now that the European, they put a lot of efforts to rebuild Gaza. But they put their efforts before, and after that everything destroyed. I tell you that in my project, when I built this solar field, the French government, they give a bank the guarantees to give me a loan. And all the projects which is implemented, it's funded by EU. And after that, they fund, they give Israel weapons and to destroy by German, by French, by most of European country weapon. All our houses is destroyed by their weapon. For that, now the, I want to, my request for them to work for peace. The best thing to do, the first, to work for peace, to what it called, to make action according to the international law, human law, and children about 1325, about Geneva, Geneva Declaration. There is a lot of things to develop it and to make accountability why it happened, why Hamas did, and they have to pay the price. And also by killing the civilians, Hamas, we can blame them that they killed the civilians, not the the occupation armies. And also to Israeli government, it has to be also to go to court and to pay the price for what they did according the international laws and UN declarations, not for another issues, not because we are Palestinian and not because they are Jewish, not because of we are human and there is international law and they didn't follow the international laws. For that, I need, this is my expectation from the European population more than the European government. Don't I want to tell them, don't be relaxed and unguilty if you pay money to build Gaza. You couldn't back my family. You couldn't back me, all the dear person which I leave them. You couldn't back the hands and the arms for the children which they are now lose everything. The things it's. Maybe they will not feel guilty if they, make accountability for all the people which they don't follow the law. I mean, all the people, if the Palestinian or Israelis, and also to work for peace. The best things to do it for the God and for the humanity. That to build permanent peace in the in all the area, in all the world. Enough killing, enough war, enough blood. We need to be in security. We don't want to see even in another country something like what happened in Gaza to happen again.
And just because yesterday we were sitting down in Sofia with the Europeans, and then we were also sitting down with the Israelis. So like in the scope of EPICON, this trilateral character of Palestinians, Israelis, Europeans. And now you talked about your expectations towards the Europeans. And what are your expectations towards the Israelis? Let's say not the Israeli government, but more like Israeli civil society. And also, because there are a lot of people who are also working for peace, who want the war to end. But what is your expectations as a Palestinian, as a Gazan who was there? What are your expectations?
My expectation, there is no expectation from the Israeli government. Mm. There is no expectation from only to make to killing more people and to see blood everywhere from Netanyahu and Smotrich and Ben Gvir government. They will not stop until they see all the transfer all the Palestinian from Gaza and West Bank. This their mentality like this. They don't want any Arab, any Muslim to stay in all Palestine. They want to take over all the land. But the hope it's in population, the Israeli citizen, that to be against that. Because I don't know how they can sleep, how they can be happy in their life if they saw all these people, which is they were killed, and transferring the people from their houses, from their land, and to for them to live in. And also, I want to tell them that you will never have a security or a quiet situation if the Palestinian, they didn't take their right. If your neighbor not live in peace, not have a security, not have his right, you will never have it. Because I tell that for the Israelis, when they were happy, when make the peace agreement with the Arab Emirates, the normalization, they said, Netanyahu achieved that, and we will make it with the Saudi. I tell them, you will never be in security if you didn't. If we didn't solve the problem with the Palestinian and give the Palestinian their state. You did before that the peace agreement with Egypt and with Jordan, but you will never succeed to make the normalization. And it will happen for all the Arab countries. Maybe you can make a peace agreement with the governments, but with the population it's difficult. Because the Arab people, still they don't see the Palestinian, they get their rights. And I will tell them that again, that you have to work hard for peace for you as Israelis, for your children and the grandchildren. Mm-hmm. If the Palestinian didn't get their right and they have their state, you will suffer, and your children and the grandchildren, you will stay suffering and you will not be in security. I hope that all of us be in security. I hope that we be a good neighbor. We organize together. We developed our country together.
And also, because you said that also for a lot of the projects you did, you worked in cooperation with Israeli institutions, for example, the Arava Institute. Was it always like just a normal thing to work together on these projects, or like has something changed, or do you think in the future, if you like the projects you're working on or you're developing, has cooperation changed, or did it get even stronger?
You know that our work with Arava Institute, this is my way of work from 40 years, as I told before. Said before, that there is a good Israeli people, which is they are against the government, which is they are believe in two-state solution, which is they are believe in our right. They help us, always they trying to help us to take our rights. These people, we have to work with them. We have to help them to also to raise this awareness among all the Israelis. If we want to raise this awareness among all the Israelis, we have to do something good together. We have to show them that we can work together, we can be a partner. Then we have, and also for the Palestinian, they have to know there is a good Israelis. They find themselves in this land. They didn't decide to come to this land and to transfer us. But when they aware about us, they trying to help us. They believe that we have to have our right, and they working hard to help us. We face a problem among our people that the most of our people, they didn't agree about our way of work to work with the Israelis. And also they are suffering from the Israeli, the extremes in Israel, which is they also attack them and fight with them because they are working for the Palestinian and help the Palestinian. But I hope that the people like us, it will be to be more than now, and after that we can change.
Yeah, I believe so. Thank you so much for your time and for sharing your story with us.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the EPICON podcast. EPICON stands for European Palestinian Israeli Trilateral Dialogue, an initiative that creates and fosters dialogue between Palestinian and Israeli peace advocates and European opinion leaders. EPICON is implemented by the Candid Foundation with the financial support of the European Union. For more information, visit the Candid website and follow us on our EPICON social media accounts linked in the description.